Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is WPRI.com politics economics reporter Ted Nisi. Thanks for joining us, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome as our special guest the deputy whip in the Rhode Island House, State Representative Christopher Blazajewski, a Providence Democrat. Thank you for joining us, Representative.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
There's a mix of good and bad economic news coming from Providence. Two companies are proposing a 1 million square foot life sciences complex on the former I-195 land. Meanwhile, Providence Mayor Jorge Elorza says new steps are needed to keep the capital city from sliding into a financial crisis. Let's look at this from the perspective of how likely these things are to happen. Will this life sciences complex come to fruition? And will Mayor Elorza get the changes he needs to stabilize Providence? What do you think, Ted?
Well, there is reason to be optimistic about the life sciences complex. You see, I mean, clearly Governor Raimondo knows what she's doing on this stuff and is being very, very aggressive with it. And it seems like the legislature's on board with her ideas. And they have Wexford Science and Technology, one of the developers. That's a deep-pocketed company with a lot of experience all over the country. Now, there's a lot of hurdles that you have to get over, including making sure there's enough tenants that they're going to want to build. I think Brown University, a lot of people will be watching to see if they're going to fill a lot of the space. As for the mayor, I mean, I think you could argue Providence's finances are stabilized, just nobody's happy with it because it just means high taxes and not much in city services and every year scraping together the money to make the pension deposit. So it's nobody's happy about it, but they're going to have to keep doing that if they're not going to file for bankruptcy.
Representative Blazajewski, we've already heard from the International Association of Firefighters that they oppose Mayor Elorza's attempt to reduce overtime spending, and there's a bill at the State House this year that would require staffing changes to go through binding arbitration. Do you support or oppose that legislation?
There's a lot of details that we haven't seen yet from Jorge Elorza, Mayor Elorza's plan to reduce the firefighting in the state. So I think we need to take a look at those details, whether or not it has an impact on public safety and whether or not it has an impact on the finance of the city. As for the legislation, we will see where that legislation goes. Right now, it's in the House Labor Committee, and we'll take a look at it when it gets to the floor. I don't serve on the House Labor Committee, but I know they're going to do a good job of taking a look at it.
You're undecided on it for right now?
Well, for now, I'd want to continue to study it and see what the recommendation is of the House Labor Committee, and we'll go from there.
Maureen, what's your take on the likelihood of this life sciences proposal and the changes being sought by Mayor Elorza?
I certainly agree with Ted in the sense that I think this is very good news and that it comes at the right time. Wexford is a prestigious enterprise. And what's interesting is, you know, my concern was when you looked at the maps, the stadium was going to be right next to it. And was that going to be a deal breaker? But they don't seem to mind. So the stars seem to be lined up in the sense that everybody seems to be on the same page, as well as the fact that there is that $25 million fund, that some of that may go just in a good faith kind of effort to get Wexford to commit. So I think that's good. In terms of the city budget, I have a slight disagreement in the sense that I think things are, you know, I think the idea of balancing the budget in Providence is like paying your credit card debt when the principal keeps escalating. This was inevitable. It had to happen. Elorza's administration is stabilized now, and I think he really has to start to deal with the long-term problems. And so we're beginning.
And I'd like to add on the issue of the Wexford facility. I think that's exactly the kind of proposal that we've been looking to see in Providence. It's still in its initial phases, but it is an exciting opportunity to expand the kinds of jobs that Rhode Islanders have been looking to have here in our city capital for some time.
The new president of the Paw Sox, Jim Skeffington, died unexpectedly at age 73 Sunday after collapsing while jogging near his Barrington home. Skeffington had been the public face of the Paw Sox proposal for a Providence ballpark. Representative Blazajewski, we know your colleague, Speaker Mattiello, has been a big booster of this Providence ballpark. Do you think there can still be an up or down decision on this in this legislative session with the death of Jim Skeffington?
Well, the passing of Mr. Skeffington was tragic and shocking and stunning, and my heart goes out to his family and his friends. The impact on the ballpark is unclear. I think everyone agrees that the initial proposal that came from the ownership was a non-starter in terms of the financial deals that was associated with it, and we haven't seen any further proposals. So it's hard to comment without any further details on what exactly the components of a deal that could keep the Paw Sox in Rhode Island would look like.
Certainly, and besides being a consummate wheeler dealer, Jim Skeffington was a gracious, gentlemanly guy, and he will be missed. Maureen, what is your sense of how his death affects this Paw Sox proposal?
Well, I think we might have to take a pause. But what's interesting to me is Speaker Mattiello has become the point person on this. This is almost looking like his project in the sense that a sort of government by one person here when it comes to this issue, he has expressed strong interest in supporting it. And the curious thing is, why is the state now going to make the proposal? I mean, doesn't that put you in some sort of a box? Like, this is our proposal. If it's his proposal, is that the end of it? It's kind of a strange negotiating strategy, given that we're talking about the state versus, the Paw Sox ownership. That's my question.
Ted, Red Sox CEO Larry Lucchino, who is a part owner of the Paw Sox now, is known as a somewhat cantankerous guy. Do you think he's going to become the guy who goes to community groups and presses the flesh on behalf of the Paw Sox?
It's a great question. I think he'll definitely be the one going to the closed-door meetings to negotiate with Joe Azarac on the 195 commission with Governor Raimondo, with Speaker Mattiello. I'm perplexed about what's going to happen with the ballpark. Reporters don't like to admit ignorance, but you just get such different signals. It does seem like Speaker Mattiello really wants a deal done. I have to say, the Raimondo administration aides I talked to sound very lukewarm to it because they still don't sound like they're close to a deal that they feel comfortable with. Now, that can change very fast if one side or the other moves. And as Representative Blazejewski said, until we see numbers, we don't know if they're getting closer together. So it's hard to say, but we know in Rhode Island these deals sometimes come together very quickly, so we'll see.
Lastly, the judge overseeing Rhode Island's pension case in court, Sarah Taft Carter, is holding a multi-day fairness hearing to determine the fairness of a proposed pension settlement. Maureen, is it at all conceivable to you that Judge Taft Carter could decide this settlement is not fair?
It doesn't seem conceivable to me. I think this is a necessary step that they have to take. I mean, you've got both sides essentially agreeing that the settlement is fair. This is an opportunity for many people who really feel as if they didn't get a fair deal to have their literal day in court. But I think it's an exercise in allowing these people to have a voice. But I don't think much is going to change along those lines.
My friend Ted is a fellow enthusiastic tweeter, so we were all surprised when he missed the opportunity to tweet for the first time from Judge Taft Carter's court on Wednesday. But Ted, it really seemed like this is an opportunity for critics of the pension settlement to blow off steam. Do you agree?
I think so. I think it's typical. I defer to the lawyer on the panel today on this, but I think in class action, you have to have the fairness hearing to approve the settlement. But it would be almost beyond shocking for Judge Taft Carter, who's really pushed this settlement forward using Chief Justice Williams to rule the settlement out at the last minute here. I think assuming there's no surprises waiting our way, I expect it all to be finalized by July 1st.
Representative Blazejewski, you were among the lawmakers who overwhelmingly voted for Governor Raimondo's, then Treasurer Raimondo's, pension overhaul in 2011. Do you believe your fellow lawmakers are prepared to sign off on this pension settlement in this session?
Yeah, well, as an attorney, if you have a case and you're looking to resolve it and you can avoid the uncertainty of litigation and everything that comes with it and still get 90% of what you initially were looking for, it's a good deal for the taxpayers. And I think that's what you see here. I expect that the General Assembly would pass this settlement in the House and Senate, and I would expect the governor would be supportive of it as well.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Maureen.
Thank you.
Ted Nisi from Channel 12.
Thanks, Ian.
And State Representative Christopher Blazejewski.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.